Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So as I said 4 years ago, we want to see the tax returns for a bunch of reasons. And we still haven't. We've seen what has been leaked out. But 4 years ago when the election was going on in 2016, you go, hey, we want to know who Trump is beholden to. We want to know where his money is. We want to know where conflict of interest may be. And, granted, I got pushback from people. Oh, you just want bad stuff. And yeah, that's part of it, too. But now we find out from the analysis of the tax records by The New York Times that evidently our no tax paying U.S. tax paying president, who for a decade didn't pay anything, actually paid $180,000 in taxes to China from 2013 to 2015. Now, it's under the guise of his company. But what caught my attention is they set up this account to do business in China, but never did any business at all. There were no transactions. There was no business done. They never used it for anything. There were no deals. There was nothing. But yet, they paid $180,000 in taxes. And here at home, zip. That is our tax dodger and chief. And here to share some thoughts on the recent news, I've asked Mark Rickling to come talk with us. Mark is the policy and legislative director there at Americans for Tax Fairness. Mark, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me on your show again, Rick. It's always a pleasure.
So have you seen this story? Evidently, China taxes at a much higher rate than the U.S. does. He paid $180,000 for nothing. They just gave him $180,000 for doing no business.
It's absolutely amazing. It seems like every 3 or 4 days, there's a new bombshell that the New York Times releases. They got, obviously, 18 years of tax records. And there's so much material in there every 3 or 4 days. It's another, what is actually going on? How is it that China, a communist country, can tax our president for business he's trying to do there, trying to get a hotel deal there, never went through, whereas we in the United States of America can't seem to levy any tax on him except for the past 2 years when he was president and he paid $750. It's absolutely amazing.
It is. And I guess this is one of those moments where, because one of the things his campaign and his surrogates are running around is, Joe Biden's going to raise your taxes. We're going to pay, 50 cents said you're going to pay 60% tax or some nonsense like this. And I'll be honest with you, I think 50 cents should pay 60% tax, but it's still nonsense.
I think you're exactly right. That story has taken sort of a life of its own, and there are a couple key facts that aren't being accurately reported in the sort of 50 cent, 60% tax rate. I think number one is that that's a marginal rate. So Joe Biden would raise taxes on the very rich. He's upfront about that. Over $400,000, Joe Biden would not raise anyone's taxes whatsoever. And for somebody making $4,000 or $400,000, that first dollar is going to face a higher tax rate for Joe Biden, but all that income under $400,000, same taxes as before. So that's a marginal rate. So that 60% scare number, they're not telling you that. That's only on the very top of your income.
Yeah, to highlight that, you go back to the Eisenhower tax code, which I talk about a lot. The top marginal tax rate back then was 92%. So if you really want to scare 50 cent, let's go back to the Eisenhower. Let's go back to a good socialist president like Dwight David Eisenhower.
You're exactly right. And so 90%, that's just the headline rate. That doesn't count in your deductions. That doesn't count in stuff that you get to not count as official taxable income. So what's really important here is looking at what the effective tax rate is. For the very richest people, we're talking like millionaires, they're paying essentially an effective tax rate of 20%. Which is what working families pay, which is what people on minimum wage, if they don't have children and they earn a certain amount enough per year, will pay a 20% tax rate. It's not right in the country that people that have so much and are making out like bandits now pay the same tax rate as people, as working families. So if you look at an analysis of Joe Biden's tax rate, what would be that actual tax rate that someone who makes over $1 million a year would face? It would be 40%. I think most people now in today's world, understanding what a problem income inequality is, think that a 40% rate on someone who's making $1 million every year is pretty fair.
I'm right there with you. But, you know, at the end of this, we can't have this conversation, Mark. We've been trained like Pavlovian dogs to anytime the dreaded T word pops up, that immediately our ears shut down and we just start spewing. Because I can't tell you how many times I've tried to explain this to people, that if you're making under $400,000, which the vast majority of us are, you're not going to see any change. If you're making over, where a lot of, I think you guys are the ones who came out with the number, that since the pandemic, the 600 wealthiest people in this country have seen their wealth grow by almost $1 trillion. Those are the people we're talking about. And look, it's not that I'm envious. It's because that's where the money is that we need to fix our broken infrastructure, to fund our education systems, to fund healthcare, to do the things that we need as a society, instead of just having a handful of people hoarding all of this wealth. It just seems silly to me.
You couldn't be more right. Why is it that you have to worry about that bridge when you drive to Harrisburg? Is it going to fall down or not? It's because people like Donald Trump, fabulously wealthy people, are not paying their fair share. They're paying $750 a year. That does not go very far. That is not going to repair our nation's broken infrastructure. It's not going to get our economy started and help but dig us out of this coronavirus recession. So what we really need to do is make sure those at the top, the people like you mentioned, the nation's billionaires who've made close to $1 trillion during the course of the pandemic, it still boggles my mind how the nation's richest people can make money hand over fist when our economy is tanking or in the middle of a pandemic. We need these people to start contributing their fair share to put America back to work, to fix our infrastructure, to make necessary investments in our country that have been going starving for resources for far too long.
Yeah, but here's the weird thing, and I've talked to some very wealthy people who say, look, we want to pay more taxes. We want to invest in our country. We want to do the right thing. There's a group that we have on occasionally, Patriotic Millionaires, who they're talking about the same stuff. Because they don't want to end up like Brazil. I have a friend who grew up in Brazil, and you know, he says even if you're doing just moderately well, you got to worry about someone snatching your kids for ransom or any of the other horrible things that go on. And as we're heading down this path and inequality grows worse and worse and worse by the day, I fear someday we could be that country.
I have the same exact fear as you sort of take a step backwards and you think, why is there all this acrimony? Why is there all this division in our society today? Why do these, frankly, racist appeals seem to resonate among so many people? Why does anyone think that building a wall between the US and Mexico is the solution to all our problems? Why would people actually think that way? And then you take a step backwards and you think, this isn't so different than what happened in the Great Depression in the 1930s. How did governments, right-wing governments, fascist governments, convince people to go along with them? It's because they blamed Jews, blamed gypsies, blamed, you know, crazy communist union organizers for making things bad. And when you have a society that is so divided, there is so much inequality, I think it's incredibly dangerous from a democratic perspective, from a perspective like you're talking about in Brazil, where it's just, you know, people are in poverty, people are in dire straits. There's a lot of crime, and it really lends a fertile breeding ground to demagogues to take advantage of that situation.
I'm often reminded of a quote that's attributed to a railroad magnate from the 1880s. His name was Jay Gould. He said, I could easily pay half of the country to murder the other half. And, you know, we're living that right now. I mean, we're so polarized as a nation that we can't even seem to agree that we want to pave the roads or have better infrastructure or have better schools, or we certainly can't agree on health care. It just seems like, you know, that quote rings true more and more every day.
I think you're right. And we can't even agree on the same basic set of facts. Is the coronavirus real? Do wearing masks, does that help stop it? You know, this is something that we debate, and it seems to me to be absolutely crazy. But I think the good news is that there's a path forward, that if we elect the right kind of leaders, if we see a change in DC, we can start to put together the policies that include making the rich pay their fair share and restore some of that equality that we saw through vast parts of the 20th century. The post-World War II economy wasn't perhaps good for women wasn't perhaps good for African Americans, and both of those groups had to fight their fight to become full members of our society. But I think, you know, by and large, there wasn't the vast amount of economic inequality that we see now that I think is really driving a lot of this division, a lot of this hate in our society.
Yeah, I mean, for me, again, it comes back down to policy. And I try and have these policy discussions. You know, recently I've been spending a lot of time talking to Trump supporters who don't seem to want to talk about policy. It's the cult. It's, you know, I bought the hat and the shirt, so I'm in the gang. Do you see a chance for us in the future, if there is a Biden presidency, to maybe start talking about actual policy? Because, look, I think we got into this mess. And, you know, some people have disagreed with me, but I think we've got into this mess because of the bad policy of the past. We have this mass inequality because of a rigged tax code. We have the policy of wages being stolen from workers because you had the policy of destroying unions and not supporting the right to collective bargaining and the right to strike. We made these choices politically. And I say we can unmake them if we just choose the right path. Now, we also need politicians who are going to actually follow through on them. And that's a whole other argument for another day. But to me, Donald Trump's just not that guy.
He is definitely not that guy. And, you know, fingers crossed he will be on his way out come November. But I do think, you know, this acrimony and this division and this partisanship, this rank partisanship, is not going to go away overnight. But I definitely think that we... if we fight hard and we organize, that we can start to make real differences in the course of this country. It's definitely on a bad path now, but I think with a Biden victory and a Democratic sweep come November, knock on wood, we can start to do good things. Good things when we emerge from this recession and we need revenues to make needed investments in infrastructure. That's definitely something that we can do. And you look at polling data, and if you see polling data, it's pretty consistent that the American people want good things. Both Republicans and Democrats think the rich are not paying their fair share. Well, why can't we here in D.C., and I'm in Washington, D.C. right now, why can't we seem to listen to the American people and to make policy that would have them pay their fair share? Hopefully we will be able to do that moving forward.
I sure hope so. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're with Mark Rickling, Policy and Legislative Director with Americans for Tax Fairness. You can check out their work at americansfortaxfairness.org. We'll make sure we get links out and you can check that out on social media. Now, you know, the next administration is going to have some chaos, I believe, on their hands, where all the indications are the virus is going to get worse. You know, the third, they're calling it a third wave. I still think it's only the second because I don't think we ever got out of the first wave. But there's another wave potentially going to hit. There's the possibility of Amy Coney Barrett being on the Supreme Court and undoing the Affordable Care Act. So healthcare insecurity is going to go through the roof. Talking from the tax part of all this, there's a lot of chaos coming, especially around healthcare, isn't there?
I think you're right, but you know, once sanity is restored, I think we as a nation can come together. And you think of in our nation's past, in times of great tragedy, that we pulled together. Certainly during World War II, that was true. I would say too, you know, right after 9/11, I'm not a big fan of George W. Bush, but he definitely took a different tone and a different approach to pulling the country together after those attacks. Obviously, with the neocons in charge, it went way off course, and needlessly attacking Iraq and the whole disaster there. But I think we have this in our history, and I think once we have a president that respects that and who wants to be president for the whole American people and just not his own supporters, that President Biden will be able to rally the American people. And I think one of the things he's going to do in a new administration, we really don't need the revenue to pay for all the good things that we need now to get us out of this pandemic. But I think he's going to make a good faith effort to show that the rich need to pay their fair share. So if it's that's, you know, taking away the worst tax breaks of the 2017 Trump tax cut, maybe it's restoring the corporate tax rate. Biden said he would do that on day one. He's going to make a good faith effort to start to bring some of the revenues from the very richest people, those billionaires that have made almost $1 trillion during this pandemic. And I think that the American people will see that he's serious and that he means it. And that just wasn't some campaign thing that he told people that he knows that it polls well with the American populace. But now that I'm in office, it's not going to be easy, so I'm not going to do it. I really am looking for a Biden administration to make tax fairness a central piece of his agenda for the first 100 days.
Yeah, you know, you said that we don't really need the revenue. I seem to think we do. You're obviously the expert. You're the one who studies this stuff much more than I do. But you know, I've always said I'm a tax and spend liberal. I want to raise the revenue that I need to build the things that we need. We pay our bills, as opposed to our conservative friends who are just borrow and spend. And if you look at the last 3 years of the Trump administration, we've had $1 trillion-plus deficits each and every year. And I'm still asking, you know, where are my T-Twizzler friends who were screaming all during the Obama years about the debt and deficits? It hasn't happened. Now, look, we need the deficit spend right now.
Yeah.
But I'm most certainly someone who believes you got to pay your bills.
Yeah, I think in normal times, you're absolutely right. I would just correct one thing you said. So with the 2017 tax law, the Republicans borrowed and they didn't spend. They borrowed and cut a big check to their wealthy donors. So there was no investment. Trump said he wanted to do a $2 million investment deal in our nation's infrastructure. The sort of self-proclaimed grand deal maker never got that deal done, never really tried to do that. His tax cuts cost $2 trillion over 10 years. And essentially, it was a big fat check to those billionaires, the ones that are bankrolling his campaign and the ones that are making out like bandits now.
Yeah. And a quick reminder to all of my friends who go, hey, I got a tax cut. Those sunset in 2025.
All the individual. Yep, exactly.
Just to throw
that
out there.
And the corporate ones are permanent, Rick.
Forever and ever. It shows you where the priorities are. But, Mark, I appreciate the time and the good work you guys do at Americans for Tax Fairness. I hope folks will check out the website, AmericansForTaxFairness.org. Lots of really good stuff there. Mark, thanks so much. I appreciate the time.
Always a pleasure, Rick. Thank you.
Mark Rickling, he is the legislative and policy director there at Americans for Tax Fairness. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. How do we move forward on the tax issue? You can share with me there. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day...